And joining us now from Pro Football Talk and NBC's Football Night in America is our great friend Mike Florio. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Vic. How's it going?
It's going well. Tell me how you think it's going in Cleveland first. Your thoughts on all the changes at the top of this organization, obviously especially coaching staff and personnel and such.
Well, I sensed the changes were going to come because Jimmy Haslam did not buy the Browns because he wanted to employ Tom Heckert and Pat Shermer. He bought the Browns because he wants to own a football team.
Right.
And in any business, when you acquire that business, you typically want to bring in your own people to run it. And the moment that Joe Banner was hired as CEO, and Joe Banner had previously told me after he left the Eagles that he was looking for a turnaround type of a situation. It's kind of hard to turn around if you think that the mechanisms in place are working. They weren't working. And so you get a new coach, you get a new VP of player personnel, and I think we're going to soon see new players for the Cleveland Browns. And I think it's an exciting time, even though there are a lot of good players, and there's been so much turnover, and I think the fans get weary of it. One thing that Joe Banner made clear to me back in October is, if they do make changes, at the time it was if, it later became when,
right,
that these changes are going to be the last ones for a while.
Sure.
And the fact that Jimmy Haslam was, and still technically is, a minority owner of the Steelers, he wants to apply that same mindset. Don't get caught up in the shifting of the winds and the highs and the lows. And don't fire a guy because he's had one or two bad seasons. Keep things moving in the right direction. Keep a steady hand. That's going to be the test for Jimmy Haslam. I think he's gotten in the past couple of weeks a little bit of an education about what it means to be an owner of a football team. Everything you do gets magnified. Everything you do gets highlighted. Everything you do gets discussed and debated. Everything you say, even something you think is a throwaway comment, becomes the focal point of the news cycle for the next 3 days. But I think if Haslam is able to operate like the Rooneys do, then the Browns maybe can stabilize and then compete in a pretty tough division with the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Bengals.
And as you look at the coaching staff, I mean, Rob Chudzinski, what he's done with Cam Newton the past 2 years and then teaming up with Norv Turner, and what Norv has done with the passing game over many years as a coordinator and a head coach, it looks to me like if you could point to one place where fans can feel encouraged and feel good and optimistic about where this team is going, I'd start right there.
Absolutely. I mean, regardless of how you feel about Rob Chudzinski as a head coach, and it's he was never really at the top of the A-list for anyone. It was kind of a surprise that he got hired, but guy grows up a Browns fan. I love the story of him watching games from outside, the TV on the inside, because he wanted to feel like he was at the games.
Yeah.
Been with the team twice before, done well with the team, and then when you bring in Ray Horton on defense and Norv Turner to run the offense, he's getting pretty good staff together here. And I think there's reason for real optimism. And I know in every city right now, every team 0-0.
Yeah.
We've seen bad teams turn it around quickly, get to the playoffs. We've seen teams barely get into the playoffs and run the table and win the Super Bowl. And I think that there really is legitimate basis for hope for the Browns, not just for this year, but into the future. And the challenge for the fans is going to be, don't clamor for change just for the sake of change because you're so used to change.
Sure.
Let this play out. It may not happen in 1 or 2 or 3 years. It may take some time, but let it play out because I think ultimately it's going to be successful.
And when you look at Ray Horton on the defensive side of the ball, much of the conversation, and it'll continue through this whole offseason and I'm sure even beyond the draft, is how you find the right pieces that will fit this transition from a 4-3 to a 3-4. As you look at this draft, as you look at the free agency market, Mike, what do you see that would allow the Browns to think that, you know, they can find these right pieces to fit the scheme?
Well, if you're going to have a successful 3-4, the one thing you need to have is a mammoth athletic nose tackle who can do that whole two-gap thing where you can just take over the center of the line, create havoc, push guys into the knees of the quarterback. You're not allowed to hit the quarterback in the knees, but you're allowed to throw the center into his knees if you can do it. And guys like Vince Wilfork can.
Right.
You need a guy like that. And those guys don't grow on trees or really anywhere else. They're hard to find. With Ray Horton, the challenge is going to be twofold. You want to run a 3-4. You get the guys you can. And then where I think a good coach really, really stands out, and I think Ray Horton falls into this category, you ultimately work with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
You want to run a 3-4, but if you don't quite get what you want to do it the right way, then you do some 4-3, and you do it maybe a little bit differently, and you get the most out of the players you have, and you try to minimize their weaknesses, whatever those strengths are, whatever those weaknesses are. But the nose tackle is the most important position in a 3-4. And the defensive ends, the so-called 5 technique, those are the unsung heroes, because what they primarily do, except for J.J. Watt in Houston, and the Texans 3-4 is a little bit different, they tie up blockers so the linebackers can be the stars. The linebackers can make the tackles. The linebackers can make the sacks. And you want to have a guy like an Aaron Smith, unheralded, unsung, anonymous largely in Pittsburgh. But one of the main reasons why that team's been so successful, and given the fact that he wasn't there last year, one of the main reasons that team plunged to 8-8.
Sure. No, that's such a great point. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, NBC's Football Night in America, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from the 2013 Combine in Indianapolis. Mike, the other parts of the Browns discussion would center on quarterback, and it never stops centering on quarterback, I guess. But as you look at Brandon Whedon, and what they had in him under a whole different scheme, and what they could have from him with Norv Turner's type of downfield passing attack, that big, tall, stand-in-the-pocket guy that Whedon seems to be, and the success Norv has had in making quarterbacks better. Do you see that being a good possibility, that you keep Whedon and he becomes better because Turner and Chudzinski make him better?
I see it as a possibility, but there was this sense of anticipation. Once Haslam became the owner, they were going to see change. And part of change, when you get a new coach wants his own quarterback. And there may be someone else out there that Rob Chudzinski says, I can make this guy even better. And I get this weird, vague sense they'd like to be younger with their franchise quarterback position. I mean, Brandon Whedon's older than Alex Smith. And Alex Smith is a guy I've been banging on as an intriguing possibility, because one of his best pre-Jim Harbaugh years came when Norv Turner was the offensive coordinator at the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
And that was when things were moving in the right direction for Smith and the 49ers. And then Marty Schottenheimer gets fired relatively late in the offseason in February. Turner's gone, and then you have to start over again. I mean, Alex Smith has gone through a lot.
Sure.
I think you bring Alex Smith to Cleveland, things get very interesting. But still, even though he's younger than Whedon, he's not much younger than Whedon. I think they'd like to find a much younger complement / competitor for Brandon Whedon, who maybe ascends to that job. But there's just this momentum toward change, and whether it's for the sake of change, so be it. But they want their guy, they want their coach, they want their quarterback, and to a sense, you know, break from whatever was in place before Haslam became the owner. And I think that's what hurts Whedon. He was the guy who was quarterback when Haslam got the team, and that almost works against him. And he's going to have to earn that job all over again in order to continue as the starting quarterback. But, like you said, Chudzinski, Turner, they could get the most out of him.
He could earn it. This combine and the storylines that emanate from it, a bunch of them. One, of course, is the one that I think is going to get the most talk, the whole Manti Te'o story. How do you see it playing out just this week? And do you see a dramatic shift one way or another in the perception of Te'o after this combine?
I don't. I mean, it can only get better. There's just this sense that the guy is either a liar or he's Forrest Gump, and I don't know which one is worse. Tom Jackson of ESPN made a pretty compelling argument back when all this stuff first came up that it's arguably worse for Te'o if he truly didn't know what was going on and was oblivious to it. And how naive can you be, and how can you ever get respect in an NFL locker room if you're that gullible?
Yeah.
And that's a real concern. And I think the teams just, they want to get to the real guy. They want to understand. I just get the sense people want to be able to say, okay, we get it. We'll give you a break on this one. You're young. You're impressionable. It happened. You didn't break the law. You didn't do anything wrong. But the challenge then is integrating him into a locker room. And I think that the real question is, what's the condition of your current team? Can you absorb a Manti Te'o without it being a problem? Do you have a young team? Do you have a veteran team? You know, there's some speculation that maybe if Te'o or Alec Ogletree, the inside linebacker from Georgia who recently had a DUI charge, if they slide to 32, the Ravens jump on it because either guy becomes the Ray Lewis successor.
Right.
I think it's going to be a harder time getting Manti Te'o integrated into the Ravens locker room than it would be maybe a team where you have a much younger defense, a much younger group of players. They're going to be more likely to give this guy a break and be led by him. At some point, he's going to be expected to be the leader, and that's where the challenge is going to be.
Matt Barkley's challenge, the fact that he's not throwing and the fact that he's got this grade 3 shoulder that's getting a lot of look, of course, and he's citing that as the reason he's not throwing after saying a week ago he would throw. How big of a problem has that created for him, and how wide open truly do you think this, if you could just give me an assessment of the quarterback class?
Well, the thing with Matt Barkley, it's unfortunate that he came out and said, or at least implied very strongly, he would throw, and then the doctors say he's not going to throw. And look, at the heart of these decisions is the agent. And that's not being overly cynical. No. The agent decides you're better off putting all your eggs in the pro day basket. And people say, well, why don't they want to come throw at the combine? Well, apart from the shoulder injury, you're throwing to receivers you don't know. You're throwing under conditions that aren't familiar. When you do your pro day workout, it's the equivalent of going out in the backyard and throwing the ball to your brother. Mm-hmm. You're throwing the ball to teammates. You're in the practice facility that you've been in your entire college career. You can have a more scripted and successful. If you don't, any quarterback who has a bad pro day workout has a problem. And you rarely hear of a guy having a bad pro day workout, because you're going to get the absolute best that guy has in that setting. And so you kind of double down if you're Matt Barkley and say, we're going to not take a chance here. We're going to go forward. Now, the rest of the quarterbacks are working out because they've all got something to gain. Usually you've got something to lose. And it's rare to see a high-end quarterback go ahead and do it. Cam Newton did it a couple of years ago, and it didn't go well, which I think is the argument if you're an agent to say, don't do it. You're only going to hurt yourself. And Geno Smith, I'm intrigued by, because he has, I think, all the tools to be a great pocket passer. He's done some of the read option stuff, but he's not particularly mobile or physical. I think he's a better pocket passer, but he's inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And there are questions about maturity, and there are other issues that'll shake out in the wash. But I think the sky's the limit for all these guys. And even though there isn't an Andrew Luck and an RG3 that are clearly at the top of the board, last year, a guy who ended up being every bit as good as either of those, Russell Wilson, was taken in round 3,
right,
5 spots after a punter. So there are diamonds in the sort of rough. Mm-hmm. And some of these guys that we look at and say, well, they're not the best value on the board. Look, quarterback's the most important position. And if you don't have a quarterback, you got to get a quarterback. And there's a lot of pressure to find a quarterback. And I think that's going to cause some of these guys to go higher than we think. You know, we hear now, oh, there's nobody worthy of this. Nobody. Look, it's almost like the guy who's going out to dinner saying, I'm not going to have cheesecake for dessert. And then it's time for dessert, and what do? You get the cheesecake. You can't resist. You can't help yourself, right, because quarterback is so important, and it's so hard to find a franchise quarterback. Sure. You get a shot in the draft to find him, you're going to take him.
You got to have him. Mike, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good to see you, Vic.
Great to see you. He is Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and Football Night in America on NBC, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we continue to broadcast from the 2013 NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. More coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.